Is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Building a Future, a study through the book of Zechariah. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com. Now get your Bible and let's get started.
Soon and very soon, my king's coming. And I'm excited about that. And that's really what makes me cry because we don't know when that time is. Not one of us knows when it's our time to go to be with the Lord. And so we really need to make sure that we are ready for whatever God has for us. And I am really burdened for our country today. There is nothing that I heard this morning. There is nothing particular, but just as I was studying this lesson, I became very, very burdened for our country. And I pray that we are all being very seriously praying for our country, praying for our leaders. As I do have to say, any part of the seeing the direction that the Academy Awards have gone year after year, and my concern is how we feel about Israel. I was talking with a lady the other day, and she reminded me of the fact that when Roosevelt was president, Roosevelt, as you probably know, was anti-Semitic. He did not allow a boatload of German Jews came to our shores. They were not allowed in to our country. And during the time that Roosevelt was president, we went through the Great Depression. We went through the Dust Bowl. We went through all kinds of weather anomalies. Is that the right word? Tough times during his presidency. And yet when Truman came in, who was the rough and tumble guy, you know, the really, he was the one who demanded that we recognize Israel as a nation, even though he fought his cabinet over it, on the fact that we will recognize that Israel is a nation, we will stand behind them, we will stand with them. What happened during Truman's administration? What happened there was the depression was over, the weather was changing, we entered into some of the most peaceful time that we had had in a very long time. And I'm concerned about where our nation is at right now in our feelings toward Israel. And so my heart is heavy on that, and I'm praying that I put a heavy heart on you for your country. Not that we would not have the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is the thing that holds us together and walking with him, but that we would be more concerned about what the direction our country's going. So enough said on that. And now I'm going to cry. Oh, okay. A number of you said how interesting this lesson was. Did anyone feel, anybody else feel this was a very interesting lesson? Oh, good. I'm glad to see so many hands coming up. I'd tell you, I went to every commentary book that I have. It's not because I hate technology, I don't. But I do tend to go to my books so that I can go back over it and I can mark it and I can, you know, all those things. So I've been through, I think, about every commentary that's been written on Zechariah, except for John Corson. And the reason that I don't go to John Corson is because I think that he is very, 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 very good. And I think he's very, 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 very right on. And I think everything that he has to, most everything that he has to say is exactly what it was for that group of people. You don't understand what I'm saying? Because these were all taken from his sermons. So I'm saying that he's a very good at what he does. And my temptation when I read him or I hear him, my temptation is to just take his word for it and not search the scriptures and not be a Berean and not try to find out what is the Spirit of the Lord saying to this group of people. So it's going to be very different. Just warning you ahead of time. And so, Lord, as we just get into this chapter 5, Lord, I am thankful for your word. I'm thankful, Lord, for what you have given us in this text, Lord. I pray, Father, that our hearts are open to hear from you. I pray, God, that you would fill us, Lord, to overflowing with the joy unspeakable and full of your glory as we get into some tough stuff that's in this text. And Lord, we pray, God, that our hearts would be softened and molded towards you, Lord. We love you, and we do pray, Father, for the parents of this 11-year-old. Father, you know what it is to lose your child, God. And so, Lord, you know their hearts. You know they're somehow blaming themselves for what's happened, Lord, but it's not their fault. Lord, let them know your comfort, the comfort of your Holy Spirit as they walk through this time, Lord. Draw them close to you, draw them close to one another, Lord, that they wouldn't come at each other with, well, if you wouldn't have and if you wouldn't have. Lord, that they would just be drawn close together as they draw close to you, Lord. And Father, I believe that this young man or this kid is with you, Lord. And he's in the better place. He's a lucky guy, Lord, to be there. But Lord, the evidence that we have of parents who lost children, Lord, I just pray that you would cover them and strengthen them and encourage them and be their strong tower, Lord. And help us walk through this text, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So how many of you have you practice retail therapy? I practice retail therapy. You know what retail therapy is for you, those who do not have their hands raised? Yeah. Retail therapy is I go to the store and I buy something to make me feel better. And that is what this portion of our text is really about. It's about how the Israelites had gotten into commercialism. And I know in your study, and your study is so well written and has so many good scriptures in it, and as you search those scriptures, you found in those scriptures these very things, that commercialism was what they were headed for. But we're going to go ahead and read our text, and then we're going to get into it a little bit deeper. And so we start with verse 1. Then I turned, and I raised my eyes, and I saw there a flying scroll. Not the flying nun, not anything else, the flying scroll. I want you to notice about this scroll, but we'll get to it. I'm supposed to just be reading it right now. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I answered, "I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits and its width 10 cubits. Then he said to me, "This is the curse that goes out." So the angel is explaining, "This is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth. Every thief shall be expelled according to this side of the scroll, and every perjurer shall be expelled according to that side of it. I will send out the curse, says the Lord of hosts. It shall enter the house of the thief, and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. It shall remain in the midst of his house and consume it with its timber and its stones." Then the angel who talked with me came out and said to me, "Lift your eyes up now," so pay attention again, and see what this is that goes forth. So I asked, what is this? What is it? And he said, it's a basket, or it's an ephah that is going forth. He also said, this is the resemblance throughout the earth. This is so that it's going out throughout the whole earth. Here is a lead disc lifted up, and this is a woman sitting inside the basket. I'm wondering, as he was looking at this, is this what Zechariah was seeing, or was it just, was it not clear to him? Did the angel really have to explain to him what these things are? Just a question in my own mind. And then he said, this is wickedness. And he thrust her down into the basket and threw the lead cover over its mouth. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were two women coming with the wind in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the basket between earth and heaven. So I said to the angel who talked with me, where are they carrying the basket? And he said to me, to build a house for it in the land of Shinar, where it is ready, when it's ready. The basket will be set there on its base. So we have a few things to deal with in looking at this. I had a few questions. Why is it a woman? Why is it a basket? Why is this? Why is it a scroll? The scroll is opened up. You know, the normal way for when you're describing a scroll, it would have two rolls on it, so that as you, it was like turning the page in a book. You would roll one side as you went along. Actually, they go from this side. Yeah, and it's turning this way as they're reading across there. But this one is wide open. So there's significance to the fact that it's wide open. Put aside the fact that it's flying, but it's wide open so that everything on it can be seen, and it's on both sides. And so there it is before him. And every commentary that I read, it reminded me of the fact that we're talking about the Ten Commandments. Remember the Ten Commandments, not two sides of the Ten Commandments, and how that was all put together. You know all of that. But when we were just talking this morning, and I want to challenge you, ladies, first of all, how many of you can recite the Ten Commandments right now, if you were called on? No, I see one hand, two hands, three hands, four. Even the ones who are saying that they can recite it right now are going, yeah, I could. I want to challenge you this week in your homework, memorize the Ten Commandments. Memorize the Ten Commandments. I think that's an important thing that we need to do. I know that when we have need of it, the Lord will bring it to remembrance, whatever we have need of, but it's nice to be able to just let it go and just be able to say it over and over again. Put that, hiding the Word of God in our heart and putting it there. And so here it is, and it's flying out there. So it's flying there for them to see. And what do you see? And I see a flying scroll, and the size of it is the size of the holy place. It's the size of Solomon's porch, if you will, off the tabernacle. And it was the place where the... if I have it correct, it's the place where they could go into worship. They can go into worship. They couldn't go into that place of worship until the blood had been spilled. They couldn't go into this place until the blood sacrifice had been taken care of. So that's there was a significance. This is a huge thing. Can you imagine it, seeing it? Remember, we're talking about a vision. This is not something we would normally see. It would be bigger, well, maybe bigger, than when you have a plane that flies across and it has that sign behind it. It kind of reminded me of that. It's going across there like that. And so he saw that, and then he said to me, this is the curse that goes out. And you notice that in these things, this is judgment that's going out. It's judgment that's going out against the people. But there are only two of the Ten Commandments that are in here. Why is that? In the New Testament, we have the, there's only one, or wait a minute, two. And if you keep these two commandments, that you will keep all of the law and the prophets, and that's love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. But I say unto you that we're to love one another as I have loved you. So maybe that's three in there. But that ties it all together. Right here, if we would love one another as Christ loved us, if we would love others as we love ourselves, number one, we would not steal from them. We would not steal their wife. We would not commit adultery or husband. We would not steal their reputation by gossiping. We would not steal. You see where I'm going with this? So that takes care of the thievery part. The lying that's involved in here, if we truly loved one another, if we truly loved God, we will not lie to make ourselves look better, to make somebody else look better, to do things that we want to do and try to get away with it. That will be fulfilling all of the law and the prophets as well, if we love one another. So that's what I see in here. But why are these two? That would be to me that this is talking about all of the Ten Commandments. If I love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, body, and strength, and if I serve only God, I'm not going to practice these things. And that's the key right there. Am I going to practice these things? I do my best never to lie, but I catch myself sometimes saying something that's not quite true. Anybody else like that? It's not really, I'm not setting out to tell you a lie, but it's not quite true. And then when the Lord reveals it to me, then what do I do with it? I confess my sin. He's faithful and just. He forgives me of my sin, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And so this is what I see. All of this text is future. All of this text for us is future. This is how I'm seeing it. And the scroll is the word of God. And the flying, simply the swiftness with which the judgment of the Lord will finally overtake the wicked. The swiftness with what the judgment of the Lord will finally take over. There is no escaping God's judgment outside of accepting Christ as your Savior and accepting him as the sacrifice. And then it goes on to say, it shall be expelled according to that side of it. And I will send out the judgment or the curse, says the Lord of hosts. It's going to enter the house of the thief. I think that my house is safe. When I go home at night, or I go home sometime and I close the door behind me, I feel safe in my house. Whatever's going on in my house, I feel safe in there. And hopefully everybody else feels safe in your own house. But that's one of the things. The thief feels safe in his house. But God says, I want you to know, I'm those walls don't keep me out. The judgment will come. The judgment will come unless you deal with it. And the house of the one who swears falsely by my name, it shall remain in the midst of his house. It's going to stay there. It's going to dwell there. It's going to remain continuous and permanency of God's judgment. It's not just a passing visit. Not just a passing visit. They're going to deal with it. It will remain until the sin is destroyed. Until the sin is destroyed. So it will remain there, and it will consume it. It says that it will consume it with its timber and its stones. It will consume it, utterly cleansed away from the midst of God's creation. The sin will be no more amongst God's creation and with those who refuse to be separated from it. So those who refuse to accept Christ, there is no other alternative for God to do than to judge them for that. It's going to come to the thing, when judgment time comes, the question that will be asked is, what did you do with Jesus? That's the question that will be asked. Will we get crowns? Will we get jewels? Will we get those things? Yes, the Bible says that we will get those things based on the works that we did. But the works will not weigh, good works will not outweigh our bad works. And a lot of the commentaries that I looked at, they were saying things like good works weighing out the bad works. But that's not how we don't sin. When we sin, we confess our sin. We don't try to balance the scales. We walk in the ways of the Lord. So this is future in all of this. And so then the angel who talked with me came out and said to me, pay attention and see what this is that goes forth. So I asked, so he's going, yeah, what is it? I don't understand. What is it? So I've got to think he's not seeing this clearly because these are things that would have been familiar to him. So he says, what is it? And he said, the angel said, it's a basket or it's an ephah. And this ephah is something that was big enough to hold 15 quarts. I'm not sure if I have that, but it was one of the bigger measurements. And what this ephah represented was commercialism. That's what it represented. The ephah, the basket, represented the commercialism. What am I talking about when I'm talking about commercialism? I'm talking about the fact that God gave very clearly, particularly in the book of Leviticus, ways that you are to care for your animals, ways that you are to care for your land, ways that you are to take care of these things. The people were to be farmers. They were to be ones who were not of this world, in this world, but not of this world. And then they went exiled to Babylon. And when they exiled to Babylon, they took on, and you know that Babylon is a type of the world. It's referred to as a type of the world. When they were in Babylon, they began to take on the materialism of Babylon. And then they brought that back into Jerusalem. Remember we talked about not all of those who are Jews are really Jews? Not all of those who say they are Jews are Jews. Romans, I believe that is. And so they came back to Jerusalem, and they came back with these ideas of putting things together in the same way that they had learned in the world, and they continued on in it. And here we are today doing retail therapy. We have grown so much in it. When I looked at the, recently I was watching the news, and I was looking at the thing at the dock, where our economy has been brought to a standstill because of commercialism, because of the things that we couldn't get into our country because we're buying them from another area. And so we sell our oil to another country, and then we buy it from another country. Can you tell me how that makes sense? You know how that makes sense? It makes more money for the people who are doing the selling. It's commercialism. Their hearts are wrapped around the commercialism, and that has what had happened with the Jews. Their hearts had become wrapped around the things that they could have, the ways that they could make money, the ways that they could do things that weren't necessarily God's ways. Now, is it wrong for any of us to own a shop? No, I'm not saying that. But when that shop has you, then it's wrong. We need to own it. It does not need to own us. And so we do the things that the Lord has for us. So I'm not against, you know, I sit in traffic and I think God never meant us to be like this. He never meant us to be sitting on a freeway like this. Craziness in the way that we must have things and we must be things. And, you know, you watch HGTV and you get covetous over the houses that they remake. You know, they redo this little tiny house into this big, great big thing, or at least it looks like a great big thing. And everything is top of the line, and they have to have the best of the best. That's what had happened here. They had to have the best of the best of everything. And God's saying, that's going to be judged because it's lying and it's stealing and it is sin. And the reason that those two were also picked is when in commercialism, in the having of things, those are the two things that are brought to our attention. When you have a lot of stuff in your house, do you think that you're a mark for a thief? When you are doing your taxes and you have a lot of stuff, are you tempted to lie? You see how the temptations of those two sins come together with all of the commercial, all of the stuff that we have. And so wrapped, so inside this ephah, it would come to the moral system by, So why a woman? Why, that's what I look, how come? Why are we always the one who has to do it? Why are we the one, we take the blame, we do the work. This doesn't work for me. So I looked at this, and I looked at all of the things, and I only came up with one of them. Well, one thing is that Israel is always referred to as a her. The bride of Christ, always referred to. And so here we have this woman here who is obviously not the bride of Christ, obviously not anything else, but this woman is a temptress. This woman has all of the things. I don't know how to really put this in a because we're a group of women, but in the way that men are drawn away by their own. We're all drawn away by our own lust, but it just takes a temptress to bring a man to a morsel of bread. Look at Eve. Look what she did. Now I'm paying for it. Well, you know, that's a whole nother study right there. Why didn't Satan go to Adam? Because Adam was standing right there with Eve, apparently from Scripture, because she turned to her husband after she had eaten. So he deceived Eve, but yeah. Anyway, so she is the one in here who is the temptress, and she's the one who's in the basket there, and so she has to be dealt with. This lift up, and it's a basket. This is the resemblance throughout the whole earth. So this deals with what the whole earth is looking like. Look around, ladies, today. The whole earth. Do you know how much we are set up for a one-world government? Do you realize, and I know you do, we are set up for a one-world monetary system because of the commercialism. Because of the commercialism, because of the things that we must have. We depend on other countries. Other countries depend on us. And God tells us, I want you to depend on me. And we don't do it. So that's where we're at today. And I think that's why my heart is so heavy for it. Verse 7, here is a lead disc lifted up, and this is a woman sitting inside the basket. So obviously, things are not proportional as they should be. Remember, this is a vision. So the woman is inside there, and they take that lead cover off. That lead cover is called a talent. It was the most that you could pay for something. It was the biggest amount that you would pay for something. The heavy weight that would hold in the wickedness. It says that she was called wickedness, so that we have her named here. And it would... the heavy weight that would hold in the wickedness until she arrives at her destination. Out of the hearts of the true believer, to be bound in the place that God has for the ungodly, that's the place that this wickedness is to be bound, in a place outside of our hearts. There's a lead disc lifted up, and this is a woman sitting inside the basket. Then he said, this is wickedness, gave her a name, and he thrust her down. And, you know, right away, I got the, what? He's beating up on a woman? What? No, that's not what's being said here. It's just a vision. Okay, I had to tell myself that. It's just a vision. Her name is wickedness. She's being thrust down into it, and it was something that they could relate to. And so the lead cover over the mouth of the basket. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were two women coming with the wind in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the basket between earth and heaven. The two women with stork wings, instruments to deliver the woman from the vengeance judgment which will ultimately destroy her. She will be destroyed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's how wickedness is destroyed, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so there they are in that place. These are two women. And my first look at that, and I'm going, oh, yeah, okay, so, you know, they got wings, so they must be some type of an angel. But if they're a type of an angel, they are the same type of angel that Satan was. Because it says that they have stork wings. Stork wings are very big, meaning, remember, we have this bushel basket, so to speak, filled with the woman. They've got to be strong, for one thing. They have very, very big wingspan, but a stork is one of the dirtiest birds. They build nests that are sometimes 10 feet deep because they won't clean it out. Isn't that interesting? Storks. Yes, and so 10 feet deep because, you know, dirtiness upon dirtiness upon dirtiness upon dirtiness because they refuse to go build a new nest and they refuse to clean out the one that they have. So that's the illustration. When I look at that, why stork wings? And here's what I want to know, and I'm asking you guys. How did we get the stork delivering babies? Now that I've studied about storks, how did we get that? How did we tie those two together? It's a dirty job. I don't know. But anyway, it has nothing to do with anything. So they are taking her, and they're taking her sealed to the outer darkness is what I see, between heaven and earth, into that dark place. And I know McGee does a whole thing about the astronauts and when they went out and they, and you know that thing of when they said, when the cosmonauts went out and they said, you know, we've been out here and we don't see God anywhere. And someone else wrote to him and said, if they would have stepped out of their spaceship, they would have found him right then. So, yeah. So into that outer darkness, into that place of keeping, if you will. And this speaks a couple of things to me and ties, you know, is this in order of everything? I don't know, you guys, but it reminds me of the fact of that wickedness being sealed up for 1,000 years during the time of the millennium until that place is set for this wickedness to be cast down into the place where it never to bother anyone ever again. So that's what it reminds me of. It says that they're going and they're going to take her, they're going to build her a house for it in the land of Shinar, which is, again, physically it's Babylon, but spiritually it is the world. It's building a place. You know, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, I will receive you unto myself. God is preparing a place for Satan to dwell, for wickedness to dwell. And there will come a time when the end will be. And my question is, are we prepared for that? Are we prepared for that time when the end will come? Do we have our hearts in a place where Jesus is the most important thing to us? Are we in a place where the first thing that we check in the morning is in with Jesus? Or do we check, here she goes again, do we check our email? Do we check our Instagram? Do we check the newspaper? Do we check the radio? Do we check other things first? The first thing that we need to do is being able to say, Lord, Good morning. Bill taught the kids when they were little to wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord. Thank you for a brand new day. And that was the neatest thing to me. And that has worked. That's worked in my own life throughout the years. Good morning, Lord. Thank you for a brand new day. Because he's the one that we're to be thanking for whatever we have, whatever we do. We're not going to have our hearts wrapped up in commercialism. We're not going to have our hearts wrapped up in the things that we have or in the things that we can store or the things that we want. Or our hearts are not going to be in a place of covetousness. Our hearts are not going to be in a place of thievery where we want what everybody else has and we want one just like it, or we want the very best of everything. Because you know what? Sometimes the very best of everything is not the best for me. And God has spoken that to my heart particularly, and I share what he's spoken to me particularly. Maybe he's not speaking that to you, but for me, the best of everything is not good for me. I need to be wise in the things that I purchase. I need to be wise in the things that I own. But it's not, I don't necessarily have to have the best of everything. Sometimes God says, I want you to have this. I'm going to be teaching on blooming where you're planted when I get to when leaders lead. And I think this is all tying together for me. You know, blooming where we're planted in the place that God has us, wherever we're at, he has great things for us. Let's not get into that place that we're so involved in the stuff that we have or in the stuff we could have or the stuff that we own or the stuff of everything or the stuff that we have in the storage unit or the stuff that we have in the second storage unit or we're storing it mom's house or we're storing at some other place or that's in the attic and it's God wants us to be clear of the things that own us. He wants to be our number one owner. We want to belong to him. So no, this was not an in-depth study of this means this and this means that and this is the other thing and that's how it tied together with the other scriptures. But I know in my heart that this is what God had to share with us today. And I trust that God is going to use it in our lives to change us into his likeness, make us more like him, that we would serve him with hearts that are completely devoid of any kind of grasping at anything, only grasping at that walking with him. So, Lord, I thank you, Father, that the ladies are having extra time in their groups today. I thank you, Lord, for the way that you have spoken to ladies in a completely different direction on this text, and, Lord, they're going to be able to talk about it. But Lord, I pray, God, that the things that you have spoken today, Lord, would be things that we really do take to heart and that it works in our lives today and it makes changes in our lives today. And Father, we want to continue to pray for our nation and for those, Lord, who just refuse to know you. Oh, Lord, open up their eyes. Use us in whatever way that you can, Lord, to bring others to you. Lord, we want to hasten your coming. We know that that division takes place at the time of the rapture for the church, that division of those who are walking with you and those who are not walking with you. Lord, that division takes place at your second coming for the Jewish people, Lord. Will you walk with me? And I hear Jesus saying right now, will you walk with me? Thank you, Lord. We just listen to you for a moment, Lord, something that is unique to most of us, to sit in a quiet place and listen for your voice. We do want to take advantage of the privilege that we have. Lord, I thank you for your presence with us. I thank you, Lord, that we are aware of your presence with us. That sweet fragrance, Lord, of your presence. We love you. We honor you. And we give you all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go.
Been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.